Hey, it's Sean.
And it's Bree.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Files Canada, Season 3, Episode 3.
What?
In this episode, we are going to be talking about West Point Lighthouse Inn and Museum in O'Leary, PEI. And as well, we are going to be talking about Colborne Lodge in Toronto. And in our paramedia segment, we are going to be talking about A Christmas Carol, the 1951 movie starring Alistair Sim. So, Bree, are you all ready and excited for the Christmas and holiday season?
I'm getting there. I got some more gifts to go purchase, but yeah, almost there, I think.
Me too. I'm pretty much like just kind of finishing up last odds and ends because we're getting pretty close. And I used to be that person that would shop on the 24th, but I am not that person anymore. I have reformed myself because I didn't want that stress anymore. So I've kind of decided to disperse it throughout December so it's not so overwhelming for me anyway.
Yeah.
With everything else that goes on with the Christmas season too. So yeah, so I pretty much have it under control, I think. I guess I'll find out closer to Christmas. Yeah.
I've got my family's doing we've been starting these little Christmas traditions, which is actually kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
We play a couple of games. We do a Secret Santa, so we all get a Kris Kringle. Yeah. And we buy our buddies a gift and everything. And then we play a couple of games, so we bring other gifts to put in a pot or whatever.
Okay.
Just like $20 gifts or whatever, right? Just something right. that both people can use, like sexes can use, right? And we play this game. It's called left center or right or something like that, and you have to roll the dice, and whatever the dice say, you have to move your chip that way. So okay. you're sitting around the table kind of like as if you're playing cards or whatever, so your chips go, and it's all like by luck of the draw the dice. So whoever's the last person standing, instead of winning the money in the pot, there's a gift this time. So we do the gift, and then they okay. win the gift. Yeah. And then I think you can open it right away and decide to keep it, or you can keep it sealed until everybody, all the gifts are gone, and then you can choose to swap it, I think. That was one of the games.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
And then this year we're also doing, the kids are going to make a gingerbread house each. And then my mom's going to be the judge, and whoever is the winner gets a prize.
Oh, that's cool too.
Yeah. Right? And the adults are making Christmas hats. So all the adults have to make their own individual Christmas hat, and whoever's got the best hat wins a prize. And there's another gift there too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's funny.
That sounds really nice. And yeah, we're kind of doing the same thing, but with my friends, we're doing it tomorrow. And we're doing something called Yankee Swap.
Oh, okay. What's that?
You know what? I'm not the person to ask about that because I'm just literally finding out about it last night. And I went, what? So it's something along the lines of you buy, like you guys were saying, you buy something and you put it into a pot, and then you get picked or what have you, and then you can swap it.
Okay.
Or somebody can take it from you, but I don't know.
I think I played that with somebody once. Yeah, I think we did that at work once when we had a little Christmas party. We played a little game like that. But it was all stuff that was useful, like headphones and things like that, just like little presents. It was fun.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one of the gatherings that we're having tomorrow with a group of friends. And after that, the next following week, I have another group of friends that we're going to be doing something with. And then my family and stuff like that. So,
cool.
And then hopefully we can get together at some point and do something. Maybe hopefully after the holidays and stuff like that. And see what's going to happen. Maybe go for dinner at some place haunted.
Yeah, there's a few places.
That's true. So you never know, guys. We might have our own experiences. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to check it out. And I think you were mentioning something about going downtown Toronto to the Keg Mansion, which we've covered in the show.
Mm-hmm. I want to go there and actually have dinner and see.
So maybe we'll have to do that. So But anyways, getting right into it, we are going to start talking about the West Point Lighthouse Inn and Museum in O'Leary, PEI. So the West Point Lighthouse was built in 1875, and it's the tallest lighthouse in PEI at 67 feet, 8 inches tall. It's considered one of the first second-generation lighthouses. It's a square tapered tower where built after the PEI joined the Confederation in 1873, and it has big broad black stripes, and they're called day marks, and they were first painted red until 1915. The light was kept operational during the winter as a nighttime guide for pilots from 1942 to 1945 for the British Commonwealth Air Training School. Up until it was electrified in 1963, there were only two innkeepers in its 88 years that staffed the lighthouse. William Anderson MacDonald from 1925 to 1963 and Benjamin McIsaac from 1925 to 1963. In 1984, the lighthouse was leased to West Point Development Corporation and then converted to an inn and a restaurant, which was relocated to the harbor in 2010. And also, it had a museum. The inn was set up with a tower room, keeper's quarters, first and second floor seaside rooms, and the tower room on the second floor of the actual lighthouse has a queen-size bed, a full bath, and windows to the water. The keeper's quarters are on the second floor of the lighthouse, where the lighthouse keeper's family resided. First and second seaside rooms have a king or queen-size beds. They all have walkout decks with private bathroom, air conditioning, and all the usual amenities of a hotel. The museum's home to one of the island's most complete collection of lighthouse information and memorabilia, where artifacts, displays, and exhibits tell the story of a community, its lightkeepers, and the technology and history for the maritime beacon in a building where the history was made. So now we're going to move it over to Bree to talk about the ghosts of the West Point Lighthouse Inn and Museum.
Thanks, Bree. John.
No problem.
All right. So staff have reported unusual activity, like the lights turning on all by themselves. Voices have been heard, but no one was there when they turn around and look around. There's many instances of cold spots. There's also, it's said to have been many sightings of an apparition that they say is of MacDonald himself. It's said also that he's a friendly ghost. There is this really neat story about a ghost ship off the shore nearby the Northumberland Strait. Apparently a ship sank there like centuries ago. And over time, people have been reporting seeing the ship there. Then things got really weird in August of 1992 when people were starting to claim to have been seeing a sea serpent from like 60 to 80 feet in length long with a long, slim neck and a head shaped like a horse with dark reddish brown fur.
Oh, Nessie. Yeah. Is that Nessie?
My fish might have came all the way down yonder. All right, well, that's all I got for the West Point Lighthouse Inn and Museum in PEI. Back over to you, Sean.
Well, thanks, Bree. That was some really good information.
No problem.
Cool. Well, we're going to move along to the Colburn Lodge in Toronto, Ontario. The Colburn Lodge is a historic house and museum in Toronto's High Park area. It was built by John George Howard, who was a citizen, architect, and city engineer. It became the property of the city after his death in 1890. The house was built in 1836 to house him and his wife Jemima, Frances Michael. It sits on the top of a hill overlooking Lake Ontario. It's a Regency cottage style, and it was one of the first in the area. The house tried to blend in with the landscape around it, and it was originally built as a one-story house. It was later expanded to a two-story by Howard. The house was named after Lieutenant Governor of Upper Canada, Sir John Colbert, who was in office from 1828 to 1836. And the house sits next to the Colburn Lodge Gardens, which was also created by the Howards. The house originally sat on 165 acres owned by the Howards. He first wanted to start a farm on the property as well, and had a few animals, but later decided to sell off some of the lots and create a new neighborhood. In that time, the area was still a conceivable distance west of Toronto and was hard to commute to town. Howard kept a separate home in downtown Toronto. Howard and his wife had no children, so he deeded the property to the city in 1873 in exchange for a permanent pension from the city. He continued to live there until his death, and then additional land was purchased in 1872 and 1930 to expand High Park to its current 399 acres. Howard and his wife are buried in Howard's tomb, which overlooks Grenadier Pond, and it was designed by Howard, and the fenced gate was originally imported from St. Paul's Cathedral in London by the famous architect Christopher Wren, and Howard had it shipped over from London in 1875. The new museum is run by the City of Toronto and holds a lot of Howard's art and furnishings. They have an annual harvest festival, summer March break camps for kids, and an annual Halloween haunted walk, which talks about the legends and the ghost appearance at the lodge. Now I'm going to push it over to Bree so she can tell you about some of those ghosts that you're going to see on the haunted walk if you go there in October.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, it has been said many, many times, just kidding. So it's been said that you can sometimes see the ghost of Aunt Jemima Howard through her window. And apparently in 1969, there was this police officer who was patrolling the area in High Park, and he noticed a figure up in the second bedroom window floor there. And when he entered the building and crept up the stairs, he went to that exact room and found nobody inside. And apparently it was documented, this situation of him going in there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And I think it was a museum coordinator that gave most of this information, even this one about this next thing I'm about to say. Jemima Howard, she died September 1877 after a lengthy battle with breast cancer. She was the first woman in Toronto to be diagnosed with the disease. That was also the museum coordinator who had stated that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, eh?
Some people have also reported seeing like shadows or whatever movement out of the corner of their eye. They've also seen a man with a long black coat, a really high white collar with jet black eyes and absolutely no expression on his face. There was also a man that claimed feeling someone touch his head from behind and start rubbing it. And then when he turned around, there was nobody there. That would freak me out. Like The Grudge. Oh my God.
Ew, yeah, Michelle Geller and the hands coming out of her head.
Yeah, that's so creepy. Good Lord. Mm. And that is all I have for the ghosts of the Colburn Lodge in Toronto, Ontario.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was pretty cool, eh? And you could definitely go there and check it out. It's and see the tomb yourself and all that great stuff. So definitely, if you're in the area, check it out. So now we're going to move into the paramedia segment of the show, and we are going to be talking about a 1951 movie with a Christmas theme because this is Christmas month. So we wanted to kind of do something that has a paranormal theme and also a Christmas theme. So we're going to be talking about a movie that was released in Britain in the US. And in Britain, it was released as Scrooge. And in US, it was released as A Christmas Carol. And the actual movie was released November 22nd and also on the 28th in 1951. It stars Alistair Sim, Mervyn Johns, Hermione Bradley, and Jack Warner. It was based on a Charles Dickens book, A Christmas Carol. The film was one of the most popular films in Britain in 1952, and it was not a success in the U.S. Through the years, it's become a holiday favorite on television. Like, I remember watching it as a kid with my parents, and it was, I believe there was an introduction by the kid that played Tiny Tim in the movie, and he would do like a whole spiel about it, and then they would play the movie. But another thing too is I think recently colorized the movie.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, they did. And it really takes away from it, I think. Mm. I think that's a movie that you definitely need to see in black and white, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you definitely get a chance to see that movie, see it in black and white. You can see it in color too if you want, but I think you get the most effect with the black and white. It generally received good and great reviews, but one review in Vanity said the film was grim and it will give children screaming memes, and the adults will find it dull and generally overdone. So, yeah, kind of a little bit harsh, but I mean, it is what it is, but now it's a family classic, so whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first time I officially watched it. I've heard of it, and I knew it was out there because, like, Blockbuster, it was rented like crazy when I worked there.
Yeah.
And I've seen it on TV all the time, right, in the background, but never actually officially watched it. I knew the story because I've seen a more recent version of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actor's name, but he's a famous actor that's in it. And then, of course, Jim Carrey's animated version, I've seen that one as well.
Right, right.
And I think I've read the book, too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But, it's been done probably a gajillion times. And But, you know, like, I mean, they all have their own take on it and their own spin. But I can't really say anything for any of them except for the Muppets Christmas Carol, because I really like that one.
I saw that one, too. I do like it. Actually, I kind of like all the versions of A Christmas Carol because it has, like, a moral of the story, right? So
right.
You're learning a lesson, and I think that's a good thing to learn, especially at Christmas when people start thinking, oh, it's all about presents and gifts when it has nothing to do with that.
Yes, yes. And I think you're exactly right. And, you know, you have to celebrate the fact is that you're alive and you're with those people and you're able to spend that time together. And I think that's more apparent now.
Yeah.
I think more people get that now than we did before. But
I do. I like this version as well because for the year the movie came out, like I don't know what you call them, but the apparitions that they used, they did a very decent job of making it not look fake. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they it was did. Pretty good cinematography, I guess you would call that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. For what?
It was probably filmed early 50s, maybe 49, 51. You know what I mean? No, but it was released. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
The filming of it. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think they were really cutting edge. And I think that's why I said earlier, you have to watch it in black and white because that's how it was originally filmed. And you know, you kind of, I think it kind of takes away from it. When you colorize it and the effects that they were doing at that time, because it was just good in that sense. And yeah, I agree with you 100%. The cinematography was amazing and for the time as well. But, you know, another thing too is that, you know, the cinematography is great and all that stuff, but the acting was also very well done as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know,
for that time, yeah, absolutely. It's more theatrical than is like modern day movie. So if you like theater, you'll very much appreciate this movie because of the way that it's filmed. It really feels like you're watching a play, but in your home.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, really. And I never really even thought of it that way. And mm-hmm. and now that you said that, it kind of, yeah, it does, you know, it really does.
I love movies.
Me too. Me too. Clearly we do, because we talk about one every episode, and then not when we're not filming an episode, we talk about them too.
Yeah.
Another fact about the movie, that it was originally slated to be shown at the New York City's Radio City Music Hall as part of the Christmas attraction, but it was pulled because it didn't have enough family entertainment. So.
Well, okay. I guess.
But whatever, you know.
They kind of changed it up over the years, because even though Jim Carrey's version is kind of scary animation, kids will watch animation, right? So right. The story will get across either way. Because I know some people don't have the attention span to watch black and white movies, and other people just love it. You know what I mean? So yeah. I kind of get it.
I can see that, because I'm not a black and white movie kind of person, but like that movie, I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple I like, oh, obviously Wizard of Oz, but it also turns into color. Yes. I love that movie, and I hope they never remake it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like A White Christmas, which I believe they colorized. Mm-hmm. And then It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And
is that the one with the angels gets its wings?
I can't remember.
I think
it's been so long since I've watched it. I remember the first time I ever watched it, I was working at the casino, and that would have been, God, 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was the first time I watched it. Because I was with a friend. We were watching, we were just making some bracelets. Excuse me. And that was on in the background. And I was like, I got mesmerized with watching it.
You fell in love with a Christmas classic. I actually have Home Alone, which I think I'm going to watch that too. It. Yeah.
My kid loves it. My brother, oh my God. I remember one time he was staying home for the first time by himself, and he called my mom at work, and he's like, can I watch Home Alone? And of course, it's like winter time. She's like, no.
Don't want him to get any ideas.
Yeah. He was always watching it. He loved that movie. And then Christopher, same thing. He likes those movies too.
Yeah.
They're great films.
Yeah, I mean, they're all classics.
He was a great little actor. Everybody was great in those movies, yeah, actually.
Yeah. Definitely. So I know I'm going to be busting out a few holiday-themed movies within the next few weeks, just because.
Oh, we've been watching since December 1st, one Christmas movie every night.
Nice.
And everybody gets to pick their own movie every other night, so.
That's good. I might actually turn it around and do Black Christmas.
Well, I did Halloween. We didn't quite watch one every single day, but we watched a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
Mostly all the versions of Halloween that were out there. And then, cool. And then I think the last movie we watched was, I think it was like some sort of Exorcist style movie. That was like on the 30th of November. And then on the 1st of December, we watched a Prince. What the hell was it called? It was one where a prince meets like a modern ordinary girl, and they fall in love and whatever. So that was the first Christmas. It happened during Christmas. So it was the first Christmas movie we watched. And then we found out after watching a couple more that it had part two and a part three, the wedding and then a baby. It's those Hallmark movies, but it was cute.
Was it Kelly Rowland?
No, it was just going to say it's that girl from iZombie. I can't remember her name, blonde haired girl that plays the zombie. She plays the princess. Well, she becomes the princess, but. Yeah, it's a pretty cute movie. And then we watched, Christopher picked one, Jingle Jangle, which was really good. It was more of a musical, but it was good and had a nice moral of the story. Polar Express, that's the next one. That's our favorite movie. We've watched it every Christmas morning.
Actually, I have that in 3D. So
I love it. I even have the book.
I've never watched it.
No? So, oh my God.
I own it in 3D. Whatever.
I absolutely love it. Everything about it.
Oh, cool. So I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. We had it on 3D when it first came out, and we watched it. We had the big screen at the time, and it was so cool because it almost looked like the snow was in front of the TV. Neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of
I think animation, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but animation in 3D is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Regular movies in 3D?
Not so much. Yeah.
Animation? Amazing. They should have just focused on animation with that.
Oh, yeah.
I think. But anyways.
Even like Avatar with all that when they were on that planet. Wow, that would be amazing. It was good. It was actually on 3D, was it not? Yeah, it was 3D.
Yeah, it was. And apparently they're coming out with another one.
Oh, they've been saying that for a while.
They have, but I think they've actually filmed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But anyways, enough with that movie chitter chatter. Brie, tell us how you can get in touch with us.
I shall. All right, then. Okay, so of course, you can always reach us on Facebook on Paranormal Files Canada. You can find us on Instagram at Canada Paranormal Files. And you can find us on Twitter at PFC_Sean_Brie. We also have a Gmail account that you can reach us at ParanormalFilesCanada@gmail.com.
Yes, there you have it. Many, many ways to get in touch with us. So reach out to us. Let us know of your experiences with the paranormal. We would love to talk about them and feature them on the show. And anything else, or if you have a paramedia thing that you find interesting that you want us to cover on the show, because we're always looking to find interesting new things to talk about. So let us know.
Or some watch. There's a movie you guys want us to watch and talk about.
Or what have you.
So, or read, yeah.
Yeah, let us know. Anything, really. If you find it interesting, I'm sure we'll find it interesting. So reach out to us and let us know. We also want to say a big Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to every one of our listeners, every one of our upcoming listeners, and our past listeners as well. I mean, we just want to reach out to everybody and wish them well during this time of year, because there is a lot going on. And, you know, this is a time where we get a chance to kind of take a step back and kind of appreciate the things that we have. So I hope you get a chance to do that and have a wonderful, safe Christmas season and a healthy Christmas season as well.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody have a great Christmas. Have a great holiday. And we will see you again in the new year.
Oh, yeah. 2022.
Right?
I hope.
What a blink. This
is going to be better.
Me too.
Yes. Well, anyways, everyone have an amazing time this Christmas and New Year's.
Stay safe.
Stay safe and stay spooky.
Stay spooky.